13. Garden of Relinquishment. We walk out into the city, which is now quiet and peaceful in the evening air. We gather closely, for Jess is subdued and speaking quietly. We approach a favorite spot, the expansive park just outside the city where I had earlier followed as he talked with Nick. It is late, and most are sleepy. "Sit here," says Jess, "while I go pray." His voice is heavy and disconsolate. "I must seek God's will." The night in the park grows late. Some of our number gradually fall asleep. I am restless. I rise and begin to walk about. Not wanting to intrude upon the Master's private communion and prayer, I am yet irresistibly drawn toward the voice I hear faintly through the darkness. On tiptoe, I approach closer through the trees, then stop. His words of prayer are more pained and full of heartache than I have ever heard from him. I know he is weeping as he pours his heart out to God. "That I might glorify you," I hear him say, "that they may know you, the only true God, whom you have sent. I pray for them, Father. Protect them, so that they may be one as we are one." As I listen, the incredible truth strikes me that he is praying for us. I inch a few steps closer. "That they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." It falls silent for some time. I wait. Gradually I hear him praying again. "Not for them alone. All those who will believe, that they may be one as we are one. May they be brought to complete unity, that the world may know that you sent me, that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them." Again it is silent. After some moments, suddenly a cry of anguish bursts from the Lord's mouth. "I know what is coming," he cries. "I cannot bear the thought of it. Please, Father, if it be possible, if there is any other way, let this agony pass from me." A momentary pause comes. The night is silent. Not a breath of air disturbs the stillness. Then I hear in a trembling voice, barely audible, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." The words are followed by quiet weeping. No other sounds come from the depths of the park. I sit down on the ground and now grow sleepy myself. Soon, without realizing it, I doze off. Sometime later, a sound wakes me. I glance up with a start. It is him, returning from the depths of the park. His eyes are red and moist with tears. He nods in greeting as I rise. "You have been a faithful follower, my friend," he says with a thin smile. "Remember what I said earlier. Be watchful, vigilant, but fear not." He places a hand on my shoulder and gazes yet more intently into my eyes. "A great trial is coming to you all," he says. "You must pray diligently to be strong and not fall into temptation. Stand firm in your faith. Trust God. He will bring great victory from it, even unto the salvation of the world." I nod, but do not understand. I follow him as the others gradually wake. In the distance, I hear voices approaching through the night. From Jesus, an Obedient Son, by Michael Phillips. Read by Michael Kimball. More information on this and similar writings may be found at fatheroftheinklings.com. Visit Amazon to purchase Jesus, An Obedient Son, and other books by Michael Phillips.